I want to speak to you today about a miracle that happened in the place called Cana of Galilee, the miracle where Jesus turned water into wine. The miracle of turning water into wine is called in our text a sign. Jesus refers to this miracle as a sign. The effect of the sign was to reveal the glory of Jesus. And the effect of seeing the glory of Jesus was to create faith in his disciples. Did y'all get those three things? I knew you didn't. So I'm going to repeat them again. Jesus referred to the miracle as a sign, as something that says, hey, look, this is something for you to catch. The effect of the sign that they saw, or the effect of the miracle, was that it revealed the glory of Jesus. It revealed to the disciples that Jesus is way more than man. He's God, the God-man, Christ Jesus. The glory, the wonder, the amazement, the awesomeness of Jesus, this sign was to show them and to show you and I that Jesus can take care of anything. And the result of seeing the glory of Jesus, his disciples believed in him. Not just saving faith, but they believed that Jesus was the answer of any need they really had. God created more faith in them because of this miracle. With my doubt, with my faith waning in Mexico, my Karen and I were making a trip to Mexico not because we were going to the beaches for sun. Now, she would have liked that. We were not going to Mexico to go scuba diving. We were going to central Mexico. And I did not know how unattractive to a man that likes to hunt and fish central Mexico is. We went to a city the size of Houston, Texas. And if y'all don't know how big Houston is, you need to go down there. It's like big. I mean, it's like crazy big. The Houston airport is bigger than Crossett, Arkansas. That's true. Carretera is bigger where we were, right in the center of Carretera, Mexico. Carretera is bigger than Houston, Texas. And they speak no English. There is not a Bass Pro Shop. There is not a clear stream of water running anywhere. There are more cactuses than there are Bermuda grass in the state of Arkansas. And in the city, every store joins another store. There are no walls or no yard, no grass, nothing separating one store from another store after another store after another for miles. And somehow or another, people live between those stores or above those stores. And we're right in the center, and from our hotel, we can't do anything except walk and look at stores. I'm just telling you, I gave up turkey hunting to go to Carretera, Mexico. My annual vacation trip to go to Missouri and go turkey hunting. Karen and I didn't go down there for fun. We went down there to see God do something special for a young man I led to faith in Christ a year ago that left the U.S. and crossed it 1 week after he gave his life to Christ. To go back down there and be surrounded by nothing but Catholicism. And our heart just breaks for Alex. Our whole family's heart breaks for Alex. And I wanted to introduce him to a church or a group of believers. And Thursday, it still hadn't happened. So with that background, I want us to look at this miracle because something happened Thursday that just broke. I just wept and I cried because of the glory of Jesus. Our God is so amazing. I mean, when I had given up, you know, and I didn't think it was going to happen, God did something that just is just like, how could this be on the last day? Just like God, to wait till the last day to show us that it's never too late. If you've got family that need to know Christ or need God to do something special for, and they're waning away, it's still not too late because God. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to this wedding. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to them, "They have no wine." Now, I'm going to tell you, she didn't just say, "They have no wine." She said it with a look in her eyes that her son knew what she was saying. They don't have no wine. Now, son, do something about it. Now, that's what she was saying. The mother of Christ, the earthly mother of Christ, was telling him what to do. Y'all understand that, right? Kids, y'all understand that? Mother telling you what to do? But here was a woman telling the Son of God, telling God the Son, looking at him, looking at the creator of the universe, looking at the man who brought everything into being and breathed life into human flesh. And she's looking at him like, "Now, son, they've run out of wine, and I want you to do something about it right now." And Jesus said to her, "Woman." Now, folks, he said it like that. It wasn't woman. It wasn't mom. It wasn't mama. "Do you need me to do something?" It was woman. It was very abrupt. It was not disrespectful because God cannot be disrespectful, but it was corrective. It was abrupt. It was plain. He didn't say mama, he said woman. And there's a reason he said woman, because Jesus was correcting an error that is propagated all over the world today, that because she was the earthly mother of Jesus, she had some special privilege, that she was something more than someone else. And folks, that is taught all around the world. 90% of all Mexicans are taught that because she was the mother, and they say the mother of God, that she has power that no other woman has. And Jesus was going to teach her and his half-brothers and half-sisters that being who she was, gave her no special privilege with God. That she had to be saved from her sin, just like every other woman and every other man and every other child in the world. And that being the mother, the earthly mother of Jesus, didn't change anything. You know, there's a phrase among some that says, blessed be the mother of God, and on and on and on and on. We're going to see what Jesus says about that in the Word of God today. Jesus said, hey, that don't mean nothing. But Jesus says, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. And when Jesus said, woman, what does that have to do with us? He means, woman, what does that have to do with me? Because, see, she was asking him, you know, she was saying, now son, I want you to do something about this. And so when Jesus says, what does that have to do with us? He's really saying, you're asking me to do something. What does that have to do with us? What he was saying is, what does that have to do with me? Now, it had a whole lot to do with him, but not what she thought. I mean, folks, everything that is about to happen is not about the wedding. It's not about running out of wine. It's about who Jesus is. But that wasn't what she was thinking at the time. So it's corrective. Jesus was beginning to correct an error that people have held on to in spite of his correction for years and years and years. But the Word of God is going to correct that. But even though Jesus said, now, Mom, you're overstepping your bounds. Mom, you're going too far. Even though Jesus said that, then he turns around, and his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. In other words, she's still convinced that he's going to do what she asked him to do. And he does. This is crazy. He does. But he doesn't do it because his mom wanted him to. He does it because his Father in heaven wants him to reveal his glory. And he's fixing to reveal his glory. Just like when I walk into this little store in Mexico, and I sit down on this little bench with Google Translate. This is a tool God can perform a miracle with. There's a lot of sin that the devil does with these. But God can do a miracle with an Apple iPhone. And God did. But Jesus is going to reveal his glory. And so she's his mother, unaware of any of that. She just says, well, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And so there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification and containing 20 or 30 gallons each. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some of it out now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk plenty or freely, then he serves the poorer wine, but you have kept the good wine until now. Now, I'm not going to get to talk about that, but that just says a lot about Jesus too. Amen. Everything Jesus does is well. Everything that Jesus does is better than what anybody else can do. But verse 7 says it like this. This beginning of his signs, which Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested, made visible his glory. You could see that Jesus was more than what people thought he was. He made visible his glory. The idea behind glory is separateness. The idea behind glory is that there is a great distance between Jesus and us, that Jesus is so much more. And so Jesus made visible his glory, and look at the result. And the disciples believed in him. Now, last week that I was here, I spoke to you about the reason that John wrote the book of John. And it was so that John would reveal Jesus' glory. And that by seeing the glory of Jesus, people would believe in him. And my prayer for you, and you want to pray for yourself. You said, well, I come to church, I enjoy the music, I listen to the preacher, and then we go home. But if you want something to happen in your life while you're here, I hear people talk about going to church. Well, I went to church and nothing ever happened for me there. If something doesn't happen for you in church, it's because most of the time you're not ready for something to happen to you. If you would begin praying to God, God, let me go there and let something real happen in my life, you might find out God might do something in your life. Instead of going there worried about, this or that or what you look like or the shoes someone else has or when are you going to get out, if you would say, oh, God, do something wonderful in me. But here, because they saw the glory of Jesus, they gained a whole new level of trust. They learned that Jesus can do anything. And if he can do anything for them, he can do anything for me. And so, if God would give you eyes to see the glory of Jesus, his beauty, his greatness, his worth, then God will do something that'll change you for the better. And why don't you ask God right now, God, let me see in the Word of God and through Pastor Allen with all of his weaknesses, God, let me see something about Jesus that'll change my life and give me faith to live with all of my troubles and problems. God, give me faith through seeing the glory of Jesus. Because in verse 11, the Bible says here, they saw his glory and they believed. Now, the glory that Jesus revealed was the glory of his sonship to the Father as opposed to his sonship to Mary. Now, Christ did exactly what Mary asked him to do, but he corrected Mary. In seeing her assumption, she was assuming that because I'm your mother, if I tell you to do something, you're going to do that. And that's what he was correcting. Mary, I'm going to do something amazing, but I'm not doing it because you're my mom. I'm going to do something amazing because now the Father is beginning to reveal my glory. And so there is some correction here. Jesus is saying, I do whatever the Father wants me to do. I don't do anything else but what the Father wants me to do. There are no attachments on this earth. Not my half-brothers and sisters, not even my attachment to my earthly mother. And I assure you, he had a wonderful attachment to his earthly mother. He loved his earthly mother as much as anybody loved their earthly mother. But Jesus, because he loved her so much, didn't want her to have an error to think that because she had given birth to the Son of God, that she had special privileges with God. Jesus was saying, Mary, you're a human. and I'm God, and I'm the master and the Lord and the king of everybody, and you have to come to me like everybody by faith in who I am. Mary had to get saved just like everybody else has to get saved. And just like Jesus was teaching her, his obedience was to God the Father above any other relationship to anybody, even his mother. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we're not going to look at it today, but throughout the Word of God, God is constantly telling me and you that our loyalty is to God first. My loyalty is to God. If God wants me to do something and my mother or my father don't want me to do it, my loyalty is to God. If God wants me to do something and my wife doesn't want me to, my loyalty is to God first. And the loyalty to God first is the best thing you can do for your wife or your kids or anybody. Americans are so messed up. They put their children before God week after week after week after week. They ignore God for pursuing things that they think are good for their children. Listen to me. I took my kids to ball games. I took my kids to traveling ball. Sometimes but I want you to know, God was first, and my kids knew that. You better make sure your children know God is first, or you hurt your children no matter what you're trying to do for them. And Jesus wanted to make sure, because he knew how important it was. Jesus wanted to make sure that Mary knew that his loyalty was to the Father above her. And that being his earthly mother presented her with no privilege at all that you and I don't have. Amen? Now, about his glory and about this miracle. Jesus did something nobody could do. And he did what nobody could do in an amazing way. He didn't, I mean, they were out of wine. They had nothing to drink. They had nothing to serve. I mean, can you imagine the embarrassment of the groom who was supposed to provide that and his bride there? And they had run out. And what Jesus provided was amazing. There was nothing the groom could do about it. He had no opportunity to order more. It was going to be a flop, a failure, because he failed. And there was nothing he could do. But there's nothing God cannot do. I've shared with you what Karen and I were going to Mexico to do. We wanted to witness to Alex's family, and maybe I'll share a little of that tonight. I wanted to share the gospel with his mom. I wanted to share the gospel with his dad. I wanted to share the gospel with his family members. Secondly, we wanted to disciple Alex. I did not have a time to teach him anything about what being a child of God was. And we wanted to spend time with Alex, showing him what it is to be a child of God. And then I wanted to connect him to a group of believers down there. Doctrinally sound believers. Friday morning, we had to go to the airport and leave. Thursday at 12 o'clock noon, we had not connected to anybody. And my wife had not bought souvenirs for the grandkids. We knew they were there. We'd just not done it yet. We had been busy trying to do the things that we felt like God sent us down there to do. We were doing the things that I didn't turn around and come back for when Rosa passed away, because Johnny wanted us to finish what we went down there for. And now on Thursday, I'm at the place I feel like I'm a failure because we've not connected him. And so Karen, in the way that a wife can do, she gets her husband to do something he doesn't want to do, and that's to go walking down those roads. And there's store after store after store after store after store way further than you can see. 2.5 million people. And you go to these stores and the stores, and you come up to a wider street, and that's where they're not stores. They're now, there's a store here, and there's a store here, and there's a vendor here, and a vendor here, and a vendor here, and for a block or two blocks, or and then turn then down this block and down there, there are vendors. And so we're walking down these vendors, and my wife is sticking her head in and looking at scarves and blouses and jewelry and rocks, and she's, picks up 20 and puts them down and goes to the next and picks up 20 and puts them down. And the third one she goes to, on the 21st one she picks up, she keeps one. And 2 hours later, I've had it. And I mean, I've had it. And I've not seen anything a man likes. She takes me in a shoe store to buy me some shoes. You don't buy shoes in Mexico for a man as big as me. You cannot buy a shirt in Mexico. There's nothing for a man, especially if you're as big as me. Nothing. I walk into the store and I point at my foot and they say, no. I could have bought the most expensive pair of tennis shoes you can buy in the United States for $25 in Mexico if I wore a size 12 or less. But we're going and we're looking, and I finally say, look, I'm going to the square. We've been there before. She knows where it's at. I said, I'm going to the square, and I'm going to sit. And I told her where I was going to sit. I'll be there when you're through. Take whatever time you want to. Just enjoy yourself. But that's where I'm going. And she looks at me like, really? And I said, really? And I'm gone. And I go there and I sit down and I put my hands on my knees and I'm trying to sleep in a park bench with thousands of people going, yeah, regular, yeah. And I'm sitting there. And this lady comes up to me and she said, are you okay? English. And I said, I'm fine. She said, you don't look fine. I said, I'm waiting on my wife. And this is what she said. Now, this is the honest truth. She says she picks up 15 or 20 things. Yeah. She says she's a woman. And I said, I know. And she said, are you sure you're okay? I said, I'm fine. She said, I like to practice English. And she goes on her way. And 2 hours later, my wife comes. 2 hours of shopping. She has two little bags. Both of them together, she could put on one finger and carry it without her finger getting tired. And I tell her about my little experience. And then she, in her humble graciousness, she said, I met a believer. I met someone who loves God. She said, I want you to come. And I wasn't very thrilled. I'm being honest. I was thinking, oh, yeah, oh, sure. She said, he doesn't speak a word of English. And I said, how do you know he loves God? She said, I talked to him for 30 minutes on Google Translate. You got a little app, you get on the phone and you type in English with your fingers and it comes out Spanish. And she said, I don't know why, but I looked at this store and this, I was not interested at all. There were no shoes. Folks, she looked at shoes. She looked at scarves. She looked at dresses. This store didn't have any of that. And she went in. She said, I don't know why I went in. But I do. And when she got in, she heard instruments, music. She didn't understand the words, but she understood the songs. It was worship music, Michael, just like we play, just like our group sings. She was hearing worship music that she had heard here. And she walked in, she started pointing the guy and started pointing at the TV and said, "Were you Christian?" And he said, "Yes." And she sat down and she Googled with him. And then she came and got me. She said, Robin, I may have found the person that we can connect Alex to. And so I went, and I walked in the store, and there was the stool. And I sat down on the stool, and I pulled out my Google, and he had his Google. And I said to him something about Alex, about leading him to faith in Christ and him coming here, and I wish he could meet believers. And he said, I'm a believer. And he texted and he said, my pastor teaches verse by verse, chapter by chapter, so we don't have doctrinal error. He teaches verse by verse, just like I do, chapter by chapter, so that we don't have doctrinal error. But I'm thinking, yeah, but you could teach verse by verse and add your doctrinal error. And I was encouraged. I was like, wow, this could be it. But I still wasn't sure. And we were talking and back and forth. And then he picked up a book written in Spanish, like, right? But the author's name is the same in English or in Spanish. And the author's name was John Piper. I don't know of anybody in our church that I would rather you read or study or listen to than John Piper. And so, you know, I can start getting emotional. And my hope is rising that I'm going to have someone to connect Alex with. And what was happening, I typed him, if your pastor likes John Piper, your theology is sound. And he smiled real big, and he typed me back, and he said, my pastor is a personal friend with John Piper. And I just fell to pieces. I literally fell to pieces. Because I knew if his pastor was a friend of John Piper, he was solid, biblically solid. Now, folks, John Piper's not God. He's not any. He's a man. He's human. He's fallible, but he is biblically solid. And now I have a believer that I can connect Alex to. And I said, led a friend to Christ a year ago. He came back to Mexico after 1 week. He's a baby in Christ. He doesn't know anything. Will you help him? And he said, yes. And Karen was talking to this beautiful 18-year-old girl. And this little beautiful 18-year-old girl brought me a picture on her cell phone of her getting baptized by immersion. And she said, I've been saved 2 years my daddy's been saved for on Google Translate. And instantly my wife starts thinking, Alex is only 23 and she's 18 and she's beautiful. This is going to work. And amen, you know, whatever God uses, you know, amen. His daughter is a beautiful 18-year-old believer. Her daddy doesn't do Facebook. And I said, you and I can talk from the United States to here on Facebook. And he gets his daughter's phone and he puts in my information and he requests a friend with me. And when I got home, I sent a message to him, but it was her. And I said, have you talked with Alex yet? And I got a Facebook response today. My dad has already talked to Alex and they've agreed to meet. You see, Alex had to go out of town Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Karen and I were in Carretera without anybody, without the person we went down there for. And Thursday before we leave, unable to do anything for Alex or even hug him again, we found someone. And they didn't just say they'll get in touch with him. They got in touch with him. I'm just telling you, folks, God did a miracle. We left the shop and Karen was doing some more of that stuff, you know. And there was a place we wanted to eat a gordita at near there. And so we were walking back by. And by the time we got there, the man had already tried to call Alex. 2 hours later, he had already tried to call Alex on the phone. But Alex is working in a part of Mexico. There's no service, no nothing. And I sent a message, please don't give up. And he said, I won't. So, folks, why I didn't go turkey hunting? Why I went to central Mexico where it's nothing but dry, where there's not anything for a sportsman to do. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And though I was in Houston Airport breaking, my heart breaking because I wasn't going to be here for Johnny, and weeping uncontrollably in front of thousands and thousands of people. I'm sure most of them didn't see me. Do I come home or do I go? I've got 10 minutes to decide. The plane is boarding. And Johnny says, get on the plane and go. I'm so thankful I did because I saw God's glory. And I know now there's nothing God can't do. That's for His glory. Not for my pleasure, not for my will, but for His will. There's nothing God can't do. Aren't you glad you serve a God like that? I hope God shows you that in so real of a way. We ought to be able to see it in the Bible. We ought to see it in the Word of God. It ought to be enough. But sometimes it's not enough for us because we're so weak and stubborn and poor. If it hadn't have been for Karen's persistence, it wouldn't have happened. Had she not looked at me like, you need to come. I wouldn't have went. And in spite of our terrible weakness, God is able to work through us with all of our faults and all of our failures. Don't think you have to be perfect for God to give you amazing things. You just have to make sure you're God's. Amen? Make sure you belong to Him. And God will give you grace upon grace upon grace. And God will, like us, He did so much more than I ever believed or expected. God do amazing things. Some have come here hopeless today. Give them hope. Some are here today with a problem that they don't think you're going to answer. God, show them you can if it's for your glory. People that don't know you as Savior and Lord, show them it's not because you're not willing. God, thank you for Mexico. Thank you for the trip. Thank you for a church family that did things without me. Thank you that I can leave you in Alex's hands, believing, God, you're going to finish what you started. Give everybody more courage today, more hope, more confidence. For the praise of the Son of God, today and forever, in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, whatever God wants you to do, do it. If you want to come to faith in Christ today, I'll stay after services. Just meet me outside and say, Pastor, I want to talk with you. If you have a problem that you want me to pray with you about, if you want to ask God to do a miracle, then see me after services and we'll pray together. But let me encourage you, don't give up. God is able. And all of God's children said, amen.